Amen. Thank you, choir. His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks. You turn with me to our scripture lesson, Deuteronomy 26, verse 1 through verse 10, 11. And the text says, when you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. And then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things your Lord has given, the Lord your God has given to you and to your household. The word of the Lord. We've visited this text before. I like this passage. And let's see what the Lord says through this text today. On Wednesday, when we were in prayer meeting, we had a time of sharing and reflection about gratitude. And one member said, I am grateful for the little things that God does. Just the ability to get up in the morning. I thank God for that. And then another member said, if you get up in the morning, that isn't a little thing. That's a big thing. It's a big thing to be able to get up in the morning. There was a woman I visited several times who was ill for quite a while, and during one of my pastoral visits at her home, she said to me, Pastor, I don't feel so good. I'm not as strong as I used to be. But I thank God I'm in my right mind. Despite her illness, despite her pain, she is grateful that her mind is still intact. She knows who she is. She is able to think clearly, make decisions, and be relatively independent. And for her, being in her right mind means that she doesn't have Alzheimer's disease, or as some would say, old-timer's disease. She is grateful that her mind and her memory are still working well. And I tell you, you might forget some things as you get older, but if you know you forgot them, then you're all right. It's when you forget and you don't know anything about it, but it's a blessing to be in your right mind. And even when you think about persons who've had a stroke or who are paralyzed, when you are able to move your body like you want to move your body, that is a blessing, beloved. Because when you're not able to do something, your mind is working fine and your body won't work, it can be a difficult situation. Memory is a gift. To remember who you are, to remember the journey you've traveled and how you made it is important. Memory helps us to hold things together. It holds together the past, the present, and the future. And when you lose your memory, you not only lose your past, but also your present and your future. Thanksgiving Day. It's not just a day for gratitude. It's not just a time to gather with family and friends. It isn't just a day of feasting and football. Thanksgiving is also about remembering. It's about remembering not only the blessings that we have, but also remembering the source of the blessings we have. We know that God is the one who's given us everything that we have. So Thanksgiving is an acknowledgement of that. It's remembering God's work and provisions. So gratitude is tied to memory. Now, some people might not be grateful for what you've done, because some of them don't remember what you've done. But when you remember, you can be grateful to God for what God has done. Sometimes when God blesses us, we experience amnesia. We forget the source of our blessings. And we sometimes forget the road we traveled and how we've made it. Some African Americans don't like singing Negro spirituals. They call them old slave songs, old cornfield ditties. Why are you singing those old somber, sullen, sad songs? Well, if you know where you were when those songs were created and you remember that God is the one who brought you, you don't mind singing those songs because it's about your memory of who God is. Some of us are intentional about forgetting parts of our journey. We act as if we've always had it like we've got it right now. We've always been in the big house. We've always driven the big cars. We've always had the fine clothes and the shoes with the red bottoms on them. We've always had it like we've got it, but some of us know that we weren't always as well off as we are right now. We weren't always as dressed as well as we are dressed by now. Some of us know that God brought us from a mighty long ways, and God has been faithful. Our text for today provides a lesson on remembering. It teaches us how to respond to God's blessings and provisions. The text is an exhortation on the connection between memory and gratitude. God's people, Israel, have inherited the land of promise. You've heard about the promised land. They've inherited. They have moved in. They have settled down. And they are called now to make a pilgrimage to the sanctuary in Jerusalem. They are called to share in the festival of weeks where God's people bring the first fruits of the land and thank God for the bounty of the land. That's what this cornucopia represents. It represents the produce, the results of the land, of the harvest. The people were to bring those kinds of first fruits to the sanctuary and thank God. So thanking God annually for God's bounty is rooted in scripture and in faith history. So you might say that Thanksgiving, well, that's a secular holiday. It's on the calendar. It's not a Christian. It is a spiritual holiday because the people of God have always had a celebration of God's blessings and of the harvest. They've had a celebration of God's bounty. So after years of waiting, after years of existing without a permanent home, God's people inherit and possess the land. And God says, now that you've gotten the land of promise, now you're there, now that you've settled in, I have some specific instructions to give you that will help which, establish who you are in the land. And one of the things that God says to them is, when you get there, when you get settled, I want you to gather to worship me. I want you to gather together to worship God. It says, when you've entered the land your Lord, the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance and have to take in possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God has given you and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today that the Lord your God, that I have come to the land the Lord swore to me, to our forefathers to give us. So they take the time to occupy the land. They take the time to get settled in the land. They take the time to plant and harvest crops in the land. And God says, now that you have taken your time, now that you're settled, I want you to come to the house of God and worship me. I don't want you to forget about what God has done. I want you to gather to worship the Lord your God. It's as if God waits patiently for Israel to unpack all her belongings and place them in the new land. It's as if God waits until all the moving trucks have left and the builders and the contractors have finished. And then God says, now come and worship me. Make provisions for worship. Bring the first fruits. In other words, offer to God some of the stuff that God has provided you. We offer to God the worship that God has, that God expects. Sometimes we move into our new land and we get settled in our new place and we forget to call on God and worship God. In fact, some of us, when we move to the other side of the tracks, when we move to the other side of town, we don't go to church anymore. And it isn't because there's a pandemic going on. It's because we're so busy enjoying our new place and our new furnishings and everything in God that we forgot to worship God. God says, when you get there, the first thing I want you to do is worship me. I want people to know that I'm God in the new place. The same God that took care of you when you were in the old place, in the wilderness, is the God who's going to be with you in the new place. So when you're moving in all your stuff and the truck has left, don't take your religion and set it on the truck and tell the truck to drive off with your religion. He says, worship me. Worship is an acknowledgement that our gifts come from God. This isn't on my paper. But somebody said to me that when certain folk, when the level of economic income rises and the level of education rises, as that level rises, the level of spirituality diminishes. That the more you go up, the more you think you don't need God, and that the folk on the bottom that have nothing are the ones who want to worship. They're the ones that want to praise God. But the folk that go up, the more they go up, the less religion they have, the less faith they have, because they think they did it all by themselves, and they think they no longer need God. But God says, gather to worship me in this new place. He says something else. He says, second, when you get settled, I want you to tell your story. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean and went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The people are instructed. You bring your fruit, that shows what God has done. And then after you place your fruit there, then you tell your story. Tell the people what God has done. Tell your story, because the story expands the perspective on your blessing. You see, without the story behind the blessing loses its impact and its power. The story is more important than the blessing sometimes, because you don't want to just tell people where you are, and you don't want to just tell people what you've got. You've got to tell them how you got it. You've got to tell them how you got to where you are, because the journey is more powerful than the destination. And you say to, he said, tell the people where you were, that you were in the wilderness, that you were mistreated, and how God brought you up and how God brought you out. Israel became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But then Israel enjoyed the favor of God. But then her enemies rose up. The enemies, the Egyptians, were worried about numbers. They said, these Israelites are getting too numerous. If we keep on allowing this, they will outnumber us, and they'll take over what we have. And the Egyptians became angry. You know, they call those people haters. And you've all got some haters. They don't want you to do nothing. They don't want you to be nothing. They don't want you to have nothing. They want to pull you down and block your progress. And God said that the Israelites said they mistreated us. They enslaved us and subdued us. And I tell you, no matter how much you have, your enemies will seek to destroy your life. That's the enemy's job. Don't be worried about the enemy. The job of the enemy is to give you trouble. Satan roams like a roaring lion, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. When Satan shows up, he doesn't show up to pat you on the shoulder and to wrap his arms around you and say, hey, baby, you're looking good today. He shows up to stick at you, to jab at you, to get you mad, to get you angry, to knock you off kilter, and to disrupt your day. That's what he did for the Israelites. But then the Bible says that the people said, we cried out to the Lord, the God of our forefathers, and God heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So God says, tell your story. Talk about what the enemy did, and talk about your days and nights of prayer. Some of us have had to pray over stuff. And we've had to pray and ask God to give us strength. Tell somebody about your days and nights of prayer. Some of these young people need to know your story. They need to know that the reason you've got gray hair and the way you are right now is because God took care of you and blessed you. That God brought you to what you have and where you are right now. Tell your story. Tell how God brought you up. Tell how God brought you out. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. I like that. He's got a mighty hand and he's got an outstretched arm. The mighty hand is to knock down your enemies. And the outstretched arm are to catch you every time you're about to fall. He stretches out his arm and says, come on, I'm going to carry you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bless you. Tell your story. You remember how God told the Israelites to take 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan. He says, when you get to the Jordan, I want you to go there and take 12 stones to serve as a sign. And God says, in the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, so that their story becomes a testimony to future generations. Your story, beloved, is a memorial, not only to your children, not just your biological children, but also to your spiritual children. Our story is important to the people birthed from this congregation, so that what our forebears at Ebenezer have endured and what they have done is a testimony to those of us on the scene right now. And those on the scene right now got somebody coming behind them who need to know the story. Tell your story so that other people will know that God has blessed you and that God has brought you. One more thing. He says, I want you to gather to worship me. Bring the first fruits to the place of worship. And then I want you to tell your story. And then he says, and then I want you to rejoice over the blessings that God has provided. And you would think that when he said worship, that included rejoicing. But he says worship. That worship is not just about joy, it's about an offering of oneself before the Lord in sacrifice and in commitment. But this joy is beyond that. He says, and you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. He doesn't mention rejoicing until after the talk about worship and testimony. This isn't a rule or a principle, but it's an instructive point in the passage. You see, God wants Israel to have the right attitude toward her blessing. It's an attitude that acknowledges God's sovereignty and worships God. God wants Israel to have the right understanding and perspective. It's a perspective shaped by Israel's story. But once Israel worships, and once Israel understands the blessing, then Israel is in the right position to enjoy what God has given. God said, you can't enjoy it. You can't get joy out of it until you worship me first. And then you testify about what I've done. Until you know I'm sovereign and you tell somebody about the goodness of God, then I want you to rejoice in your blessings and all the good things that God has done. In other words, enjoy your blessings, beloved. Be happy about your blessings. Rejoice and know that your blessings come from God. And God says, I even want you to tell the aliens, the strangers, the have-nots, tell them to enjoy the bounty that God has brought. I want you to tell the marginalized, those whose backs are against the wall, what God has done. In this Thanksgiving season, let us open our hearts and hands to others and tell them about God's goodness and blessing. He says, rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and has blessed you with. Often, folk are ashamed to celebrate their blessings. They don't enjoy the good things God has done. And some of us make folk feel ashamed. When we see somebody blessed, we say, oh, here she comes. Or here he comes. They think there's something because they got a new coat. Or something because they got a new place. Here they go. So folk are not always wanting to rejoice. They feel guilty. Sometimes we don't rejoice because we don't feel like we deserve it. Beloved, if we deserve what we got, we wouldn't get anything. Everything we got it because of the grace and the goodness of God. And then sometimes people will feel that they will be called arrogant because they are enjoying their blessing. Well, arrogance is joy without a background story. When you ain't got no journey to talk about, then that's arrogance. But when you know the Lord brought you, when you know the Lord blessed you, that's not arrogance. That's rejoicing about the goodness of the Lord. It's merely saying to somebody, God blessed me, and I'm glad about it. God helped me, and I'm glad about it. He doesn't want me to be sad. He wants me to put a smile on my face and let somebody know that the Lord is working in my life. Don't come to church and turn worship into a wake or a visitation hour. We're not called to come to worship and gather in hushed tones and be all somber with sullen expressions. The Bible says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Worship is a time to rejoice and enjoy the blessings of God. Don't coddle your blessing. Don't walk around being so proud of what you got that you coddle your blessing, but enjoy it and be happy. Don't put your blessing in a display case. God didn't make your house a display case for somebody to come and look at what you got. God says, that's a blessing for you. Be happy. And so be thankful. So if God blessed you, wear your blessing. If God blessed you, drive your blessing. If God blessed you, sit on your blessing. If God blessed you, let somebody know the Lord brought me from a mighty long way, and I'm glad about it. Be grateful to God. If you don't know how to be grateful, just start singing some songs. Sing, Jesus, you brought me all the way. You carried my burden every day. You're such a wonderful Savior. I've never known you to fail me yet. You brought me all the way. You don't know what to say. Say, like a ship that's tossed and driven, battered by an angry sea, when the storms of life are raging and the fury falls on me, I look up and wonder why good fortune seems to pass me by. Then I say to my soul, take courage. The Lord will make a way somehow. Grace woke me up this morning. Grace put food on the table. Grace put clothes on my back. Grace walks with me. Grace kept me. Grace blessed me. Grace goes all the way. I know he's all right. I know he's all right. I tried him for myself. I know he's all right. I know he's all right. Hallelujah. Thank God for all that he has done. Beloved, this is a time to rejoice. I know family and friends will be there. And you got to go to church, take them to church with you. And tell your family, we're going to pray. We're going to bless our food. We're going to thank God for the bounty. Because we want folk in our house to know the Lord did it. The Lord brought it. The Lord made a way for us. Want him to be God and sovereign in our lives on Thanksgiving. If you want to know him and share in his provisions, you can know him by faith. He will come into your life. You don't have to be special. You don't have to be important. You just have to be willing to receive Jesus into your heart. And when you let him in, he will come in and turn your life around. Will you stand with me in the sanctuary? Brothers, will you come as we extend the invitation to Christ? Come as we extend the invitation to Christ. We offer Christ to you. A time when you can come, join the church, give your hand to us and your heart to God. Won't you come? Brand new through life abundantly. You. Happy Thanksgiving. Blessings to you. Blessings to your families. Be safe and be thankful. Let's prepare for the benediction as we sing together. Thank you, Lord.